Hey, John, what are you eating there?
Snowball.
Oh, like the hostess dessert, the snowball? Why?
Well, a couple reasons. One, Sean is gone this week, and he never lets us eat junk food in the studio. Also, because of this week's news.
Okay, yeah, but I thought we were going to talk about the spring election and whether or not it's a sign of a blue wave.
Yeah, I know, but I was thinking we don't really know if there's going to be a blue wave in November until November happens. But what we can say is that the idea of a blue wave is really starting to pick up speed. I mean, pundits and prominent Democrats and even Republicans like Governor Scott Walker are starting to latch on to this idea of a blue wave.
Okay, I get it. So it's like it's a political narrative that's beginning to snowball.
Also, they were out of Twinkies. This is the WPR Politics Podcast. I'm John K. Wilson.
And I'm Laurel White.
Let's talk about a political narrative and how it starts to snowball. All right, to start out, and I'm sorry, this is really rude of me, Laurel White. Would you like some snowball?
Yeah, thank you. You know, I've never had one of these before, but like if the time is ever like appropriate, it is now.
I'm not gonna say
Yeah.
they're bad. They're not good. They're like a little too squishy for what I want, but like it's not, it tastes like a
It has a
dessert.
very marshmallowy texture. It smells like a Mounds bar. Probably because
Coconut.
of the coconut.
Yeah.
Just to like paint a picture for radio listeners, this is like a lime green snowball.
What's weird is that like I was looking for them at the 7-Eleven earlier and I was expecting pink because they're usually pink, but apparently they do seasonal colors
They're
for
usually pink.
holidays. Yeah, but then I spotted the green ones because St. Patrick's Day was still in stock.
I keep trying to rip it, but it's like very stretchy. Because of the marshmallow, can I just eat this for the whole podcast and have my
Yeah.
voice sound like this? It's fine,
Exactly.
right? It's not annoying.
No, not at all.
Okay.
So Tuesday we had a spring election here in Wisconsin, and there were two statewide things that were on the ballot. One was a question about whether or not we should get rid of the state treasurer's office, and the other one was an election for the state Supreme Court. And even though it's officially unpartisan, the Democratic-backed candidate, Rebecca Dalet, really handily beat the conservative-backed candidate, Sauk County Judge Michael Skrenek. And so that's one of the big things that people are looking at and saying, hey, is this the latest sign that we're having an upcoming blue wave here in Wisconsin?
It's true. So, like, I feel like the blue wave conversation started, like, really even before there were any elections to be had to point to,
I mean,
but
we've done a podcast already about
yes.
waves.
I would love to recreate that for you all because I feel like I could talk like ad nauseum about those things. But to spare you that, I will just say like this has been building for a while. There was the spring, or actually it was in January,
The
the
special
special
election.
election for the 10th Senate District, and that swung pretty dramatically. It had been a seat that, or an area of the state that President Trump had won pretty handily in 2016, but it went to a Democrat in the special election. So that's when I think the political narrative of a blue wave in Wisconsin really started to snowball. I went from being like a little
That's when like the
snowflake.
tiny little like you're right at the top of the hill and you
Right.
just like nudge it down.
Right.
And I
Yeah.
don't know if this actually works, the idea that like you can start rolling a snowball and at the end it's this giant like thing that is unstoppable because it keeps picking up snow on its own. But
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like if we were a little more in the dead of winter, we could go out and like Mythbusters it and make that part of the podcast. But thank goodness we don't have that much snow on the ground anymore. But yeah, I think that that was like the little kind of beginning of the little baby snowball, if we're going to say that that works in theory, kind of like inching down the hill. And then, as you mentioned, this week with the spring election, I think that like there was additional snow added to the snowball and like potentially like some people kind of ran up on the sides and like shuffled it down the hill a little bit faster too.
Yeah, I mean, I think in the days, the weeks and days leading up to this election, people were already starting to say, hey, well, this is the next, you know, marker about whether or not this is going to be a blue wave year for Democrats. I guess we should clarify for anybody that's totally lost, like, the idea is that Democrats are blue on maps, and this is going to be a wave year election.
See,
and
Democrats so a blue are blue. Wave. Republicans are red.
I just wanted to, like, you know, lay down the basics just in case.
It's fair. It's conscientious of
and you. So people were like, well, if Rebecca Dallet wins, that this is really going to be a sign of a blue wave. And she did, in fact, win like 56% to 44% against a conservative-backed judge. And she ended up winning in a lot of parts of the state that just, you know, a couple years ago in 2018, like several counties, like 24 or something, I think, mm-hmm. that Donald Trump won in the presidential election. Rebecca Dallet carried in this 2018. And obviously the two are apples and oranges, kind of, because turnout for a spring election is always much lower than a presidential year.
Right.
But voter turnout for this election was, in fact, pretty high for a spring election, right?
It was, yeah. It was about 22%. For the last spring election, it was 16%, I believe, somewhere around there. So it was better than it has been in the past. But, I mean, what we normally see for a presidential year election, so like what we saw in 2016, is more around like the 70% mark, I think. So it's a different pool of voters, really.
Mm-hmm.
So it is hard to compare in apples to apples. Like, you know, if it were a presidential year, would Rebecca Dallet have won some of these counties that President Trump had won? But I think the fact that she did flip some counties is what is really causing the snowball to move faster. It wasn't just that she won, but it was how she won and where she won. So let's do, I'm going to do, in the spirit of Sean Johnson, as he would do if he were here, I think, is look at some of these million papers that I yeah. printed out. It's sort of like...
we just kind of like talk out of our, you know, heads, where Sean always prints out massive stacks of paper.
He does.
And cites stories and quotes and stuff. So we did that for you, buddy.
We did. I feel like, you know, maybe this isn't appropriate. I hope I'm not offending anyone, but I feel like I could wear a bracelet that's like, what would Sean Johnson do? That's the spirit I try to, like, harness when Sean is not here with me. So we've got a graph here for Dane County. And I think these numbers are so interesting. So, like, for Dane County, this chart, and you helped make this, correct? Or you did make this?
I made the map part. Jenny Peek, one of our other web editors, made the cool graph part. So I won't claim responsibility yeah. for that.
But WPR.org, our editors, like, doing cool graphic stuff. So in 2008, President Obama won Dane County, just to, like, go back and give hella historical context. He won Dane County by 73%. So, or not by 73, but with 73%. Mm-hmm. And then in 2016, Hillary Clinton got 70% of the vote. And then in this election, Rebecca Dallet in 2018 got 81% of the mm-hmm. vote in Dane County.
And so Dane County reliably Democratic.
So, like, the Dane County thing, I think, is to talk about liberal enthusiasm. And they mm-hmm. talk a lot about that in wave elections. But then if you look at a place like Brown County, it looks at the depression of the party that's kind of subject to the wave. So, like, Republican voters not showing up, not being as enthusiastic, or maybe even switching parties or independents, kind of skewing one way rather than the other. So Brown County is a is an area that's been kind of trending Republican in recent years. And, you know, for example, President Obama got 54% of the vote in 2008. So kind of gives you a little bit of a sense there. Rebecca Dallet won that county. She got 55% of the vote in Brown County. So that's another indication of not just the turnout in a liberal stronghold like Dane County, but other parts of the state where she was performing a little bit better, or at least as well as some other candidates that have won in the past.
And that Republicans have been winning that county recently. Like Donald Trump took it in the presidential election. Mm-hmm. There are some other elections there that are also, it's like, there's like Obama up here in 2008, then a whole bunch of red bars winning in the graph, and then Rebecca Dallet taking a little bit more, even like a point more than Obama did.
Right. Like, so Obama had done really well. He got 54%. And then for the next four elections, we've got the recall with Barrett. He just got 40. Mary Burke just got 40. Hillary Clinton got 41. Kloppenburg, who was the last liberal candidate for Supreme Court in 2016, she got 42. So we had this kind of like, you know, high 30s, low 40s situation going since 2008 for liberal candidates in Brown County.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but that means not winning.
Not winning. That is correct.
If you're under 50.
If you're working out of 100, see, and you move the pebbles one way or another, if you only have four pebbles, yeah. So she did. She bumped it up back to where Obama had been in 2008 and even a little bit above Obama.
And so this is sort of like some of the raw data that we're looking at here that gives the impression that, you know, maybe this, you know, is a good place to start hypothesizing that, hey, you know, it's another sign that it could be a blue wave. So who all has been sort of making those predictions this week? It came up in a lot of different scenarios that we've been talking about, including some different stories that you were reporting on this week.
Yeah, so a lot of people took these raw numbers that we've been talking about and really ran with them. So Sean talked to Charles Franklin, who is the lead pollster of the Marquette Law School poll, and he said that these numbers were really pretty remarkable and that, quote, the big message is blue wave builds. So that was his big takeaway. He's somebody that obviously is really into these numbers and tracks the changes in them and enjoys crunching the numbers. Then there were some more political figures that you know, weighed in on it, and, you know, they're obviously citing the numbers as well, but they have a little bit more of a rhetorical spin on things, you know, or a little bit more of an interest in maybe advancing one way or another for whatever reason. I was able to speak with the U.S. House Minority Whip, Steny Hoyer, who is from Maryland. He is in Wisconsin currently. He's touring around with U.S. Reps Mark Pocan and Ron Kind. And I got to get him to weigh in on this whole thing and give some national context to the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race and what people are thinking about it. He is particularly interested, of course, because as the minority whip, the leader of, or one of the leaders of Democrats nationally.
Yeah, a prominent Democrat in Washington.
Right. He counts all the votes, as whips do. And so he's interested in getting more Democrats there. Mm-hmm. And so it's particularly intriguing to him to see Dallet win in areas of Wisconsin that are currently held by Republicans. So Dallet did well in Mike Gallagher's district, the 8th district. She also did pretty darn well in Sean Duffy's district. Mm-hmm. So I asked Steny Hoyer, you know, what does this mean for you? What does this mean for National Democrats? Are you going to look at flipping these seats? Are you going to look at them differently than you did before this election based on her turnout? And he said, yeah, we're definitely keeping an eye on Wisconsin. And he said that it was a definite possibility that more outside money, more kind of out-of-state money, resources, time, intellectual energy, whatever, however you want to phrase it, will be directed at Wisconsin because of these turnouts, or because of the turnout for Dallet and her results. But he also mentioned that this was really just a confirmation of what they thought they had been seeing. He was very confident about it. He was like, oh, yeah, you know, we've seen this in Alabama and Kentucky and Florida, and this is part of a national thing. So I felt like his message was, yes, this was great for Wisconsin, and we're going to keep an eye on Wisconsin, but this is something a confirmation of something that we've been seeing nationally.
I mean, yeah, I think obviously it's sort of in his interest to perpetuate this political narrative of the blue wave for the snowball to keep getting bigger, because he wants the idea to look like momentum is on his side. But it's also interesting, I guess, that it could have an actual, you know, tangible impact in terms of how they direct resources toward the state and whether or not they consider those seats to be competitive. Also this week, another big name in politics who's from here in Wisconsin, our reporter in Wausau, Glenn Moberg, had a chance to talk with former Governor Tommy Thompson, who is a Republican, but also was, you know, on the blue wave train, as it were,
to just keep mixing
metaphors.
Yeah, we're all about trains and snowballs and other things in politics. But yeah, it was interesting because, you know, I talked about Steny Hoyer being a Democrat and, you know, perpetuating the snowball and the blue wave narrative. But Tommy Thompson, as a Republican, was very much willing to say that the blue wave is happening as well. So it's a Republican perspective, and they have a different reason, right, for, like, saying it's happening.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I got the sense maybe from his quotes that, I mean, he's not running for office right now or anything. It seemed like maybe he was willing to speak a little bit more frankly about, like, what he's seeing, because he had some quotes where he's like, this is happening. This reminds me of these past elections.
Yeah. Like, it was really interesting because he can add some historical context to it that's interesting. So what he said to Glenn Moberg on his show was, it reminds me of the election in 1970 when we had 55 members in the state assembly and we went down to 33 because we lost touch with people. And then a little bit later, he said, I think Walker and Republicans better heed the election and they better start talking to people. So he said, this reminds me of something I've seen in the past when there's been a blue wave, which is another, like, throw a big chunk onto the snowball with that, like saying, like, this reminds me of a time when, you know, the signs are the same. And then he's offering a solution there. So this is a Republican in contrast to Steny Hoyer, who's also saying, like, yeah, we're seeing this. We're seeing this happen. And Republicans need to acknowledge it and do something about it.
And which brings us then to our current governor, Scott Walker, who is on the ballot in November for this 2018 election. And he is also using the term blue wave repeatedly, I think, in like the couple days after the election results. He used the hashtag blue wave like 8 times or something, I counted. And he's doing it in a way that's saying, like, hey, guys, me and you other fellow Republicans who are running for office this year, we need to watch out and fight this blue wave. Like, I have some of his tweets here. Like, on election night, he tweeted, tonight's results show we are at risk of a hashtag blue wave in Wisconsin. The far left is driven by anger and hatred. We must counter it with optimism and organization. Let's share our positive story with voters and win in November. Another tweet that night, he is using it to call for action for Republican voters to get out and volunteer and help. He says, we have a positive story to tell, and we need conservatives to take action and stop a hashtag blue wave by getting out there and telling it. Volunteer to share our optimistic plan for the future here. And then there's a link that I didn't include on my printout here. I'm not going to read the URL. But
yeah, I mean, that's similar to the message that he sent out into the world in January after the special election for the Senate district. He called it then a wake-up call. And now it seems like he's moved beyond the wake-up call and they are awake. And because the message that he gave then was, we need to talk about our positive accomplishments. So he's still saying that, like, look at the unemployment rate, look at things we've done for the state of Wisconsin. We need to get out there and share this positive message. But he's saying now, hashtag blue wave.
He's looking out there and saying, hey, guys, here on the red beach, look, there's a blue wave coming. We need to do everything we can to, like, put up a bunch of positive messaging sandbags and rebuff this, this, you know, snowball wave coming our way. And so even though the intention behind using this political narrative is, like, exactly the opposite than it would be for Democrats, mm-hmm. he's also, you know, saying blue wave, mm-hmm. just like everybody else.
Absolutely. He's contributing to the snowball.
Oh, real quick, we haven't talked about this yet. We mentioned it earlier, but there was also the other thing that was on the statewide ballot this week that also can be looked at a little bit as a blue wavy related thing, which is also just kind of like weird and interesting to me that what seems like it might not be a super partisan thing is actually looked at as another drop of evidence in the snowball. I don't even know where I'm going with these analogies anymore. But the fact that a question to eliminate the constitutional office of the state treasurer was soundly defeated mm-hmm. by Wisconsin voters. And even though it was, you know, voted on by the legislature twice as rules of order and constitutional, you know, whatever, mandates.
Rules of order and constitutional whatever. That will be the sequel to the WPR yep. Politics podcast when we have a spinoff. Constitutional whatever.
But, like, so it passed with bipartisan support twice, mm-hmm. but then when it actually came up for a vote among the people, they said no. And why is that looked at as a potentially positive thing for Democrats?
So I spoke with Mordecai Lee, who is a political science professor at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, and he said he saw this as another contributing factor to the blue wave because this movement to eliminate the treasurer's office has recently been championed by Republicans. So mm-hmm. the governor supports it. The current incumbent state treasurer who supports eliminating the office is a Republican. And so because of that partisan association with the idea right now, he says that voters kind of took it as a symbolic way to push back on the Republican establishment, mm-hmm. Even though this has been a bipartisan idea in the past. As you mentioned, it passed two sessions of the state legislature with bipartisan votes. Interestingly, when it passed the state assembly, former minority leader Peter Barca and current minority leader Gordon Hintz both voted for it. Mm-hmm. Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, who when he was running for governor, supported abolishing not only the state treasurer's office, but the secretary of state's office. So this definitely has been a bipartisan idea in the past, sort of like a good government. The treasurer's office doesn't do that much anymore. It's a waste of taxpayer money to have this office be in existence, et cetera. But because it has been championed by Republicans right now, according to Mordecai Lee, who I spoke with, and a number of other political observers who have weighed in on this race, liberal voters really took this as an opportunity to say, this is something that Republicans have pushed lately. We are unhappy with you and want to voice our opposition to you. So any idea of yours, mm-hmm. we're going to say no to. So the referendum failed with a vote of, let me get the percentages right here, 62% vote. 62% of Wisconsin voters said they want to keep the treasurer's office in the state of Wisconsin.
Well, whether or not there is an actual blue wave or the whole thing just turns into a green or pink or other seasonally colored snowball, hopefully we will be here to tell you about it. Laurel White is WPR's Capitol reporter.
And John K. Wilson is our resident politics nerd. Now we're going to go eat some snowballs.
Yeah. I don't know if I want another one.
I know, right? One is probably enough.
You know, if you're looking for a cream-filled chocolate podcast with a marshmallow frosting dusted with coconut flakes, you can find it when you subscribe to the WPR Politics podcast on iTunes. It's also available on Google Play and many other podcast apps. And you can listen to all of our past episodes whenever you feel like it at wpr.org/politics.